So, sermon title, Too Low on Oil, Too Low on Oil. I'm thinking a lot about 2 Kings this week, 2 Kings. I'm thankful to be here today after a week of professional development classes in Arizona. I was not on vacation. I was taking class for like 5 or 6 hours a day. There were breaks in between, but I'm really glad I'm not in college anymore because my back was like hurting after sitting so long every day. My family and I had a pretty crazy week before I left. And a pretty crazy last 2 weeks at that. Our son Elliot was born on December 19th, and we celebrated Christmas with y'all and New Year's, and it was just really a great end to the year, great end to the year. And then New Year's Day came around, the start of 2018. It's also my wife Sonia's birthday, and we decided to go to a movie together called The Star. The Star, I don't know if anybody has seen it. It's a nativity movie. It looked really cute. It's told from the perspective of the animals. We thought, we're going to do this as a family outing. And it was like -8 degrees that day when we left. It was just not very good weather at all. So we went together. I had the car warmed up. The baby was in the back with our daughter Charlotte, who happens to be 4. Everybody is basically all ready to head out into the Arctic. And we headed to Oak Creek. We live in Racine. And before we went to the movie, we stopped at Target because I am not paying $8 for a box of like Junior Mints or something like that. You know, 3 boxes of them, you know, that's a lot of money. So we stopped at Target, you know, to run some errands, let's just say that. And when we pulled into the parking spot, all 3 of us, Charlotte and Sonia and I, said, "I smell gas. I smell gas," right as we pulled in to the spot. And, you know, I opened up the hood of the car, popped it, and, you know, I'm not a car guy, but I wanted to make sure it wasn't, like, on fire or something like that. And everything looked normal. I thought, well, it's -8 degrees. You know, we've had the heat going. You know, nothing too crazy. I pulled the dipstick out. You know, you check your oil. And it was like a tea kettle. It just steam shot out of this thing. And I thought, okay, it's cold. Maybe that's not that irregular, but I've never seen anything quite like that before, and I've checked to see if I need oil. And I had about 2,000 miles until I needed an oil change, so it seemed kind of bizarre that something was going on. Well, I went inside, got the candy, came back out, and as soon as I started the car again, it sounded like I was driving an old lawnmower or something like that, or I was down at the tractor pull. The car was shaking visibly and starting to kind of lurch forward. And I thought, this is not good. I don't think we're going to be able to go to the movie. I think we need to get home like ASAP. So I pulled out of the parking spot and maybe made it a block to the Kohl's next door in Oak Creek. It's like the next, it is literally like the next block, the next parking lot over. And check engine light came on, and it was very clear to me that the engine was no longer purring, but it sounded like it was very angry. So, the car I replaced with my falling apart 2004 Honda CR-V was replaced with a 2013 Equinox, a used car, back in June, and it was dead, deader than dead itself. So Sonia and Charlotte and Elliot went into the Kohl's to seek shelter from the sub-zero temperatures. I was on the horn with AAA for a while, and a couple hours later, you know, they came to pick up the vehicle. And I peeked underneath that car, and I could not help but realize there was oil everywhere. It was bleeding like a stuck hog. There was a trail of oil behind the car. The whole underbelly of the car was just covered in oil. That's what we were smelling. It wasn't gas, it was oil. And I was in shock because I am like meticulous about oil changes and whatnot. The engine was angry and lurching forward because the car had no oil. It had sprung a leak. A seal had blown in it, and it was metal against metal, and it damaged it. And the quote came back. Drum roll, please. $7,700. Brand new engine required. Not good. Not under warranty. But GM actually absorbed the cost of the new engine because the engine was still under warranty. The car was not. It was too low on oil, and it damaged the vehicle. So running too low on oil can damage a machine, but running too low on oil can definitely damage us as well. Today I want to talk about oil. I want to talk about oil because I think this is a time of year when a lot of us can feel like we're running a little bit low after Christmas is over and New Year is over, and there's just a lot of stuff that's happening right now in the news. It might make you feel like you're kind of, you know, when you never hear anything good, it might make you feel like you're running low on oil. So I want to talk about this widow and her oil jars from 2 Kings and a little bit from our story from John, because I think there's some oil hidden away in it for us. So let's talk. Look at all these bowls. The widow in today's story, I think, knew a thing or two about running low on oil. Her husband was a follower of Elisha, the prophet, and he had died. Her husband had died. And in those days, this was a death sentence. She had nobody to take care of her. Nobody to take care of them financially. And the creditors were knocking, we hear. The creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves, she says. She's already lost her husband, and now she's at risk of losing her sons because she owes a debt. There's emotional grief and economic grief. Now and in the future, things don't look very bright for her. Those boys were supposed to take care of her in her ripe old age, and now she's at the lowest of the low place. She is out of oil, figuratively, in this desperate situation, running low on the stuff that keep her family alive. Have you ever felt like that? Like you're running low on oil, so to speak? Dangerously low? When might that have been in your life? Why might that have been in your life? Where you feel like going on is just damaging the engine. I'm sure we've all felt like that at some point. And where do you turn when you're low on oil? Where do you turn? The woman turns to somebody she knows for help in the story. We hear she turns to the religious leader. She turns to Elisha, the prophet that her husband studied with. And in reading through this story, one of my first thoughts was, wow, this lady really, she needs her church to take care of her. She needs a church. She needs some family, a community of faith. And I think that Elisha, the prophet, is symbolic of that church. And the thing is, he does not give her money and say, okay, go fix it. Go fix it. I sent an email out to our council and said, guys, just so you know, this bill came back to me. It's like seven grand for the car. I wasn't saying, could you please, you know, hook a brother up? No. I was saying, I need to let you know. And folks came back to me with all sorts of requests in a way that they could help. Do you need to borrow a car? Do you need to know someone that knows warranties? How can we help you out in a way? It wasn't about throwing money at a problem to make it disappear. It was about empowering me to get through that, being, you know, all that damage that was done. Elisha, I think, is the embodiment of the church, not because he fixes the problem for her, but he listens to her. He hears her plea, and then he offers up an idea. He asks her to work with what she has. Work with what she has. He knows that she's low on oil, but he asks what it is that she does have. What do you have? And the woman shrugs and says, you know, I've got a little bit of oil. And this is literal oil, cooking oil, olive oil, canola oil, vegetable oil, what have you. And I think it's a good reminder for each of us to not start with what we don't have, but start with what we have and move out from there. And I think this is a powerful story because we hear that God takes a little bit of oil and turns it into a big thing in this story. Kind of like the Christmas story. God takes something small and makes it into something big, multiplies it into what we need. Have you ever been in a situation in your life that you felt like you were running low on oil, but somehow by the grace of God you've been given what you need to get by? Somehow you got just enough to get by? I think we've all been there at some point. So what does this widow do? She has but precious little oil, and Elisha, the prophet, tells her to go out and borrow bowls and containers and Tupperware and pots and jugs and pitchers and vessels of all different shapes and sizes from her neighbors. And he says, don't borrow just a few. Borrow a bunch, not just a few. Get what you can. Borrow from everywhere. Borrow from everywhere. He moves from the quick fix, the handing money out or something like that, giving her just enough to get by, to make the car payment, to do whatever, to the possibilities of God's grace and abundance. Gather as many bowls as you have, and have faith that God will fill not just a few, but all of them. Don't limit God. Trust that you will get what you need, and that you'll have more than enough. God provides abundance if you bring the containers to hold it. Yeah? Yeah. How has God multiplied something in your life in a way that you thought wasn't possible? It's a question I think we all can ponder in our heart, kind of like Mary. What must it have been like in that room then for that woman and her sons? Can you imagine the suspense when she started pouring out that first jug with just a little bit of oil and it keeps filling and filling and filling? With more Pam spray or whatever it is. It keeps on pouring out more and more. She tips it over until one jar is full. And then another one. And then another one. And then another one. And on it goes. I'm wondering, is God pouring oil out in your life right now in some way? Is there something that keeps you going, keeps filling you up? What is the oil that keeps being poured out in your life? I wonder. We could stop right here. God multiplies what we have into more than what we need. Makes sense. God uses the little stuff in our lives to do big things. That feels good to hear. But I think that there is more oil in this story for us. In today's story, we hear the widow, her sons, the neighbors, the deceased husband. These are the major characters. We've heard basically what it's been like for the widow and her sons. You know, filling up jars and vessels and whatnot. But I think there's a twist to this story. What if we see ourselves as these bowls, the vessels, not just the cups and containers and things like that? What if we see our lives in this way? Scripture is full of bowls, full of containers, full of vessels that hold stuff. And every time they hold stuff, they talk about who God is and what God does and how God's at work in the world. We hear about fish nets in the Gospels that are so full of fish that they almost break. The hall is so full. We hear about an alabaster jar in the Passion story, about how Jesus is anointed by this woman, and it causes a fight to break out between the disciples. We hear about the Magi who bring their gifts to the infant Christ child in treasure chests. Those are containers. Those are bowls. We hear about how Jesus turns water into wine, filling those vessels that have water into something unexpected. We hear about the ark that holds the animals in the story of Noah and his family. In all of these stories, we hear about literal containers, but there are stories as well about people who serve as bowls for God's goodness, who serve as containers for God's grace and love and light in the world. It might be obvious, but sometimes we need to say it. What if our lives are the most sacred containers that we have? The manifestation of God's presence here on earth is not something out there to find out in the nether somewhere. But what if it's something that we have within us? The Anointed One, Jesus, has made each of us the container that holds the precious oil until God is ready to use it. So just like with a car that's running too low on oil, and that can be damaging. This is a time of year, a time and a place in which many of us might feel like our oil is drying up. Especially when you flip on the news, like I said, and you know, it just seems like things are dark. It's my prayer for each of us that we don't run out of oil, that we learn from the widow's story about how God takes small things and multiplies them into things that are unexpected. How can we encourage and hold one another as containers if we run low? How can we recognize in one another that we are containers of God's goodness in the world? And how can we recognize that Jesus, the one who fills us up, comes from a place where people thought nothing good could come from? May we fill one another up with oil and be open to the possibility of small things becoming big things in this year. Amen? Amen. All right.